Welcome to Community Focus for this June 5th, 2026. That music just gets me hyped up.
We get pumped up.
Welcome, Muskegon, to a show that brings truth, light, and lets you know what's happening in the community. I'm Gregory T. Roberts, and to my right is...
I'm Melvin C. Burns II.
How you doing, Muskegon and worldwide? You can catch us on all community platforms, the Emoji app, YouTube, and of course 103.7 to be and M106. What's going on weather-wise?
Okay, on this wet Friday, I expect rain all day. Not a lot. We maybe have another third of an inch that we'll get between now and end of the day. High today of 71. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain, low 61, high of 76, but that rain should be early in the day. It'll be partly sunny on Sunday, low 59, high of 82. Monday, we have a low of 63, high of 83, but a 50% chance of rain. Tuesday, rain early in the day, low of 66, high of 75. Next Wednesday, cloudy, low 64, high 79. The next Thursday, it should be sunny, low 69, high of 82.
So you said we have a lot of rain coming?
Yeah, a little rain coming. Not heavy rainfall so far. A little early morning, few early morning showers.
So, yes, I ain't got to cut the grass.
There you go. So you had a motive behind that.
There's always a motive. All right. Yeah. What is our top five for this week?
Well, you know, I love beginning of months. I like new calendars, new planners. So I did this last month. We know June is Pride Month, but let's, some other things you can celebrate, commit time to during the month of June. June is National Men's Health Month, and we'll probably have somebody, and we often do, talk about men's health. So if you haven't, it's a good month to maybe follow up on that doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. Take care of your health, man. June is also National Safety Month. You know those things we leave laying around the home, those death traps, maybe take care of a few of those. June is National Caribbean American Heritage Month. Good food, good music. You bring out the kungas and the
timbales. Absolutely. Yeah,
all right. And June is National PTSD Awareness Month.
Huge month.
All right, big month.
That's so, a big month.
Things we can do in June just to have some fun, enjoy the month, maybe some different focus, some things we can enjoy.
All right. All right, with that said, let's get in today's show. Who do we have as a guest here?
Okay, our guest here today is Brian Lambert, and we're going to talk about some fun stuff going on here in Muskegon. Maybe fun for some people, work for others. Brian, it's good to have you. Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Brian Lambert. I was born and raised in, here in Muskegon, Michigan. My wife and I, we have three beautiful daughters. We're heavily involved in the community. We love our community. We chose to be here. We both moved back from Detroit and Chicago respectively, and we reconnected here. So I couldn't be more proud of this community, and in my opinion, having lived all over the place, this is truly the best bang for your buck on cost of living to quality of life, in my opinion. So we love where we work, we love where we play, we love our neighbors and our community.
I will say it's pretty remarkable that you got three daughters and no gray hair up here.
Well, I was at the checkout at Meijer. You know how they do the overhead view? While you're, I got a glimpse.
He's like, "Who is that?"
And I was not proud of what was happening up there. It's getting a little thin. And my wife, I go, "Did you know?" And she goes, "You didn't?" I'm just like, I can't see the top of my head in the mirror. So,
what's the age of your daughters?
I got a 4-month-old, I got a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So, yeah, and I am wrapped.
Well, we're all girl dads. So you're still at the point where pink and purple pretty much will solve everything in their life.
Oh, yeah. And I find glitter all over me all the time. Some days I wake up with eyeshadow and I don't know what happened.
Yeah, in a few years, don't fall asleep. You will. Every dad will end up with makeup or nail polish on them at some point.
Yes.
That's fun stuff.
And I can't say that I hate it. It's so much fun. We're in a fun phase.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. Yeah. Brian, tell people what you do for your vocation, and let's talk about the other event we're here to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, so I own Brightway Insurance, the Lambert Family Agency here in Muskegon. Mm-hmm. I started 10 years ago. I was originally in aviation and wanted to do something that would allow me the flexibility to get involved in my community. Mm-hmm. And what kind of drove that is when I moved back from Chicago, I went to a meeting, and there was just so many people complaining, just complaining. And I was like, man, you know, I have complaints, but if I'm not willing to roll up my sleeves and do something, then what's the point? You know? So, that's kind of like changed my whole trajectory of, hey, if I'm not part of the solution, I'm part of the problem.
Okay.
And so we just find things that we're passionate about, and this happens to be one of them.
Oh, great. Great. So, okay. Now, I'm here today to talk about the upcoming run.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and the date and information.
Yeah. So the Trinity Health Seaway Run is coming up on June 27th, which is a Saturday, the last Saturday of the month.
Okay.
We're in our 45th year,
wow,
which is phenomenal. It's been a great tradition. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when it was owned by the Muskegon Chronicle, we'd go down there. I was in the seventh grade, you know, running the 5K. And next morning I wake up, get the Muskegon Chronicle out, lay it out and see where I landed, make sure I beat my buddies, you know, after you read the stats and the sports and everything else. So it was just a cool childhood tradition that I always thought was super important. And you know, there's a big push to get kids, you know, off devices and moving their bodies. And a friend of mine, actually a gal that works in my office, she has a saying, and she says, motivation follows movement. You know, with so much going on in the world right now that we were talking about before this, it's just like, sometimes all you need is just to move your body, go for a walk or a hike or a run, or
exactly,
you know, because we can sit here and just and read all the negativity and the pessimism, and sometimes you just need to move your body and get in that tradition and that habit of moving our bodies. I think the world would be a better place, in addition to many other things, however. But truthfully, like, this has been a great tradition for me and my family. My girls have run it since they were, you know, I think first one, she was 6 months old when we pushed her in the first 5K 6 years ago. So but ultimately this is a run to promote health and wellness. Our beneficiary and is the Muskegon YMCA, who does phenomenal things within our community, helping, you know, with safety around water, diabetes prevention, Live Strong for cancer survivors, and all of this programming is free. And the Seaway Run is one of those things that helps us pay to offset the cost for all of these great programs that benefit our community directly. Okay. And the really cool thing about it is that every dollar raised stays within our community, and it goes to really phenomenal use.
Awesome.
So what we got is we have a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon. That's on June 27th, which is a Saturday. Mm-hmm. You can walk the 5K. You can run it. We are expecting about 2,100 racers down there. So it's okay, just a phenomenal event. Afterwards, we have a tent. Wesco sponsors our beverage tent afterwards. So we're going to have donuts. We're going to have Fairlife chocolate milk, Core Power, and Country Dairy, and all that kind of stuff. So there's good snacks afterwards if that's your incentive.
I was just gonna say, nothing says helps more than donuts
at the end. You know what?
You get to eat those donuts with a little less guilt.
What is the cost to participate?
So on the 26th, which is Friday, is packet pickup. We're actually doing a free event for children. And it's a 1.2K around Heritage Landing. Okay, and this is for anyone that doesn't want to get out there and do a 5K, you know, because that can be daunting, right? If you never run or walked a day in your life, like going out and doing a 3 mile walk is a daunting task. So that's Friday. We're going to do that. It's a free for kids at 7 p.m. right after packet pickup. We're going to have the kids do a lap, and we'll be out there to cheer them on.
Okay.
And that's just to get people in the door. You take that first step, right? The next day, so anyone under the age of 18 is $15 flat rate. And with that, you get a custom t-shirt, you get a medal, you get all of the post-race activities, you get an ice cream cone. It's essentially where we don't make any money on that. We want to get our kids moving, right? That's really what we want. And start that tradition with other families. I mean, there's no better way to get out than with your family and start good habits. And then obviously, as you go through to the adult 5K, 10K, and half marathon, those are scaled pricing. But if you go to seawayrun.com, you'll be able to register and take a look at the pricing there as well. But yeah, there's also a ton of community organizations that we partner with that will provide discount codes and things like that, and Trinity Health as well. So.
And you brought up something about all the money stays here and it supports the Y. How important is that partnership? Because we need people to be involved in helping our youth.
Right. Yeah. It's wildly important. I mean, just like I said, the Y takes action, right? And I was on the board of the Y for 7 years before I took this over. And I'm passionate about the Y's because they're effective, and they're effective for a very reasonable cost, you know? So, and they take pride in our youth and the youth safety with the safety around water. Every third grader within Muskegon County has access to safety around water to learn how to swim. And that's our greatest natural resources, like Michigan, Muskegon Lake, White Lake. Mm-hmm. And making sure our kids are safe around it is priority number one.
Oh yeah.
And then in addition, like the health and wellness classes that they provide and just the food knowledge, you know, we are what we eat. You know, it's everything we put in our body, that's part of us. And if we're making the wrong decisions and we're making the wrong, I mean, I had mm-hmm. chicken wings for lunch, so I'm not perfect either, but it's just, yeah, it's super important. And they live that mission and they drive it. They also have Camp Pendulum to get kids into outdoor education. Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much good programming that's available right within our community. And if you want to know more about the resources that they provide, MuskegonYMCA.com, it is a phenomenal organization run by phenomenal people who really care.
Okay. So now what's the course they use for the race?
Yeah. So we start at Heritage Landing downtown. Mm-hmm. And we've had to move the course a lot over the years. There's so much construction in Muskegon, which is great. You know, like I'm always fine. I mean, I met with the city yesterday and they're like, oh, well, we're going to have this whole dug up. And I'm just like, all right, guys, so you're going to have to run a mile and then jump over a pothole and then swim. And then, no, it's so it runs up through NIMS neighborhood. And then we wrap down around on the bike path right by the Yacht Harbor there by what used to be Cole's Bakery.
Okay.
Without the smells this year, unfortunately. But so it's all Core City, Muskegon, NIMS neighborhood. And then it ends right back at Heritage Landing where the after party is.
Okay.
So you're not coming by the lake this year.
Well, we do. We once we get up to NIMS, we come down lakeshore there and we dip down towards the marina. And so you do get a little spot of the lake and then it ends on the lake. Yeah. But when you run the 10K and the half marathon, those go all the way out to Lake Michigan.
Okay.
So the 10K will make it out to Lakeside and then you wrap back around on the bike path. But if you do the half marathon, which I think you both signed up for.
a relay. It's going to be a relay. Be some more guys.
You'll be out and you'll run the channel wall right by the silver side. You'll run down by the deck and the pier and everything else. And it's gorgeous. I think MLive in 2016 named it the most scenic race in the state of Michigan.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, I know we get some people who like these half marathoners and 10Ks. What kind of feedback do you get about that course? Because running down Lake Michigan is just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, we have people from all over the country. I think we had like 12 or 13 states represented last year in this, which is phenomenal. And every time the feedback we get from out-of-state runners is not necessarily just how beautiful the course is, mm-hmm. is how friendly our volunteers and our runners and just that Midwest nice mm-hmm. hospitality mm-hmm. is, I think, the most prideful thing I take out of this whole thing is how welcoming our community actually is. Mm-hmm. You can go to any community, you know, in Michigan and not feel as home as you do here in some instances. So that's really what I'm proud about. And the course speaks for itself. I mean, you get to see some of the most gorgeous views in Michigan, in my opinion. I'm a little mm-hmm. biased, but and it's just a phenomenal tradition that that we're blessed to be able to have here in Michigan, in Muskegon.
And the people, because we would go down and set up a cheer station.
Yeah.
And people would do that and still do that today.
Yeah. And my hope is that, you know, we're sending out postcards to everyone that's going to be along the course. And my hope is that throw a speaker in your window or on your front porch and toss on a sprinkler and just celebrate our community and the people that have been coming out for 45 mm-hmm. years to run this thing. It is a cool event and it's been happening. It's
don't give me an idea. Yeah. I'll turn a water hole.
Well, I mean, if it's 95 degrees, they'll be thanking you.
Yeah, we talk about the run competitive part, but the 5K walkers. Talk about how important that is. I know we get groups of folks that come out there.
Yeah, it's. Have you ever been a runner?
No.
Yes.
I'll tell you a story after about one 5K race I ran once, but I used to run a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple of decades ago.
Well, when you get out there and you get your endorphins going, it's, you know, it's early in the morning. It's 8 a.m. You get out there with your friends or your family, and you get moving. You see all these other people moving, and everyone's just cheering you on, mm-hmm. right? Like, whether you're walking, running, or just standing still, like everyone's out there to cheer you on and congratulate you on your accomplishment. And you can't finish that. Whether you're tired or not, you can't finish that and not feel good about yourself, right? And it just gives you energy for the day. And it is like I recommend, even if you're not going to run it or walk it, come down and just be around the finish line. It's just positive people that care about their bodies and care about supporting their community. So I think that's a huge part of it for me.
Well, let's talk about that now. You people in Trinity Health and in running, I used to run. My body says no now. But what if I'm somebody that's interested and would like to get in running and my goal next year is to run a race? How do I start?
So we actually have training programs that we launch in March and April that are going to partner you with somebody that is a runner, and they're going to be very, very supportive of your journey, right? And how to stay healthy, what to eat, how to stretch properly. Like, I mean, we've all made those mistakes, right? Of getting out there and doing something we're not, like, I tried to do a cartwheel yesterday and I threw my back out. So, but there's ways that we can do this healthily to prevent injury. We partner with Run Muskegon and they meet every Wednesday to go on runs, and every weekend they meet. So the running community is a very open community. It's a very accepting community, and we're here to cheer people on and help them through their journey. And I don't think anyone is a real born runner, and it's not very fun when you first start. You know, it's doing something hard. You know, you can't get out there and just lift 100 pounds. You know, you have to work at it. You have to, same with running. But once you get over that block, once you get over the I can't do this, it's a truly great feeling. So we have resources to help people take that first step off the couch, and where to go, like resources to find the right running gear, the right shoes, the right, you know, that's what this whole thing's about, is just finding that good habit. Right.
Right. And like you said, you get started and you'd be surprised once you get over that. I can't, because, you know, I would get out of work as a firefighter and then run 2 miles around that beautiful area and then, you know, start my day. But it's an idea. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah. It's that first step, right? And the first step's the hardest, and then you take the second one, and it's not so bad, you know. So and if you're, I've been involved with Run Muskegon for a long time too, and there was a woman there, I won't name drop her, but she started coming to Run Muskegon every Wednesday, and she wasn't a runner, and she would walk. And then the next week she would maybe run, you know, a couple hundred yards. And then after a while she got into doing triathlons. Like, and I don't even think she knew how to swim when it all started. So like, it is that snowball effect, right? Like you just, once you get into it, you get surrounded by like-minded people who care about their body and care about their health and they care about you. It's addictive.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned working with the city of Muskegon. Talk about what that experience has been like working with the city on these runs.
You know, like I said, we have a great community that's growing. The city of Muskegon is a great partner in regards to that. And the only downfall is we have a growing community, right? With growth comes challenge.
Sure.
So, you know, the course might be different year to year. We have, you know, new developments going in every year that we're working around, construction schedules and availability. And I mean, we had an events meeting yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce, and everyone wants to be in Muskegon from May to the end of September, right? Yes. And so working around other events, working with other events, sharing resources and volunteers is super important. And I don't think that it happens very often, but the willingness of other event coordinators to work together, to pull things off and to share resources is truly phenomenal. It's a huge tip of the hat to our community and our willingness to collaborate with one another. And I think that can only get better from here.
Awesome. So you mentioned, you know, it's the Trinity Health Seaway Run. You mentioned Wesco. Are some of the other sponsors that we want to give a shout out to?
Oh, yeah. So if you go to our website, and I'm going to miss a ton, and we're going to shout out all of them. Mm-hmm. But let me read through some of those sponsors. I apologize. I was not prepared. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's and I'll add this to the city of Muskegon. Mm-hmm. We work with Muskegon Police Department and the Muskegon Fire Department, and they're phenomenal. I mean, they really want to come and put on a good show and make sure that our runners stay safe. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, the fire department's coming down. They're gonna toss on that big fire hose on that ladder. And that's like always a benefit for all those kids, you know, like. Sure. So it's no, it really is.
And I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you're okay. I'm just pulling it up right now and just playing along. Sorry.
The website that people can look at is what?
Seawayrun.com. And so we got Trinity Health, we got Wesco, Structural Concepts, Quality Tool and Stamp, Canon Muskegon, GE Aerospace has been a longtime supporter, and they bring out, I mean, they bring out staff like it's, mm-hmm. it's great. They've set a spirit station. Don Martinez, Trophy Officer TH Brands, comes out and they do our shirts for us and, okay. and also support us. The Muskegon Channel, my business, we sponsor as well, Brightway Insurance in Muskegon, Lauren Industries, Ready Rental, Fairlife, Home Depot, Pigeon Hill. So we have a really great community sponsorship base, Eagle Alloy. I mean, the list goes on. So, sure. yeah. But yeah, and that's, I mean, all of those sponsorships goes to
right.
stay in our community mm-hmm. for all of these yeah. initiatives that
it's,
we're in.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about volunteers? Do you have all the volunteers you need? Or are we still looking for more volunteers?
We always need volunteers. Okay. We need people. We need course marshals. We need people to help set up and take down. So if you go on seawayrun.com and then there's a little tab at the top that says get involved and mm-hmm. it's going to drop down. You can either sponsor the event still or you can press volunteer and it'll show you which volunteer areas we have still available.
Okay.
And within that volunteer, you're going to be invited to a post-race party in July that we are going to feed you and okay. give you a beverage ticket where you're going to get a shirt. So we really appreciate our volunteers. This makes, okay. I mean, to put on a race like this, we need a couple hundred volunteers and we couldn't do it without okay. our volunteers. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Sure. Now you're doing the 5, 10 or half marathon. Which one are you doing?
I am doing the, I've got to make sure everybody stays safe at the, you know, start and finish line. Okay. So I'm going to hang out by the donuts for this one, but oh, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll be there cheering you on okay. when you come in on your 13th mile, yeah. from that last race. So.
yeah. I'll do just a quick story. I did one 5K race and they had age categories. This is at a conference I was at. And so this one older guy, his wife ran. And so he held her purse and her sweater. So I guess he decided to walk the course and he was the only person in his age category. So he won like a gold medal. so when I'm about 80, I'm going to wait. Then I'm going to do my 5Ks.
There you go.
That's my favorite 5K race story. But
I ran into a guy this past week at an event and we had a booth there and he's like, hey, I just want to let you know, I ran my first 5K and I got first. I'm like, I'm like first, really? And he's like, first in my age group. It's first ever 5K. And then I was like, oh, that's awesome, man. I'm really proud of you. That he's like, oh, I was the only one in my age group. I go, this is a fishing story. You leave some details out.
Like you say, it's a good time to get out, enjoy Muskegon. We want to have beautiful weather. We're just going to say that now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go through the neighborhoods and just see the best of Muskegon.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's it means a lot, and I really enjoyed our conversation before we kick things off, and sure. I hope we can continue it even sure. after this. So, sure. But, yeah, thanks for continuing to support our great community.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to let you go quite yet.
Okay, I'm sticking around.
What drives you?
What drives me?
What drives you to give so much back to the community?
It fulfills. It's fulfilling, honestly. You know that feeling when you walk out of church?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. we do.
Yeah,
we
right. do. I mean, you feel so much yeah. better when you give back. I'd rather give than receive. Like, it's sure. it just truthfully. Yeah. So selfishly, I like to feel good, right? So yeah. giving back is part of that. And also, be an example for our kids. You know, when they see that their parents are heavily involved and they're doing all these things in their community, I mean, that's infectious. And sure. we need more of that. We need more people to be leaders and care about where our communities go and the future of our livelihood and our children and our community. So that's really what drives us, you know.
Yeah. Then you said something earlier. You said, you know, if you don't get involved, you can be part of the problem or part of the solution. Speak to those people that they have ideas that they want to help, but they don't know quite what to do to help their community. Talk to those individuals about getting involved because they could change somebody's life.
Yeah, we all have passion, right? You can be passionate and want to get involved in many different things and identify that passion, because if you're helping support your passion and where you want to see our community succeed, I guarantee you there's organizations that are already doing those things and throw on a backpack and help them, you know, like carry some of the load. It will make you feel better. It'll be a great example for others. And like I said, like when our community members see other people get involved, they want to get involved too. Mm-hmm. It's just a phenomenal way to give back, set an example and carry that forward, you know, pay it forward.
Mm-hmm. When you see, when your kids, your daughters see dad doing this, what do you want them to see? What are you inheriting in their life? What seed are you sowing in their life about their dad?
Everyone's a neighbor. honestly, is it doesn't matter who you go up to and talk to. They see me. I'm an extrovert. You know, I go up and talk to everybody, right? Everyone has a story. Everyone's dealing with, everyone has trauma. Everyone has things that, you know, they're struggling with. And I want my girls to see humanity, right? I want them to see the fellow man or woman and treat them with respect in spite of what may be happening visually or anything else. But my wife was, she's a big reader anyway. We were talking, we were going to church a couple weeks ago and they go, I want you to take your biggest problem, write it on a piece of paper. And I want you to put that problem in a hat. The only caveat is you have to draw a new problem.
Okay.
From somebody else that did that same thing. Would you do it? And I was like, no. I mean, you think of, you know, we always, always think of the struggles in our life. And, but I think when we look at the global scale of things of what the true problems are in the world, it's all pretty minute, right? And my problems I can manage, right? And they're mine and probably the cause of me, because of me. But at the same time, like, we don't know the battles that other people are fighting. Sure. And I'm very blessed. We're all very blessed. We just have to look for that.
That's
and,
right.
And so many people are just constantly finding the negative. Like, let's look for the positive every now and again. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this. You know, at some point, you just get tired of fighting with your neighbor, right?
Like, right.
It's easier to love them than to carry that grudge.
That's
right.
Like, yep. Give yourself some peace.
So I think if everyone took that, you know, a little bit of grace and knowing that everyone is fighting some different battle, I think our community would be unstoppable.
That's wonderful. So we're at the bottom hour. So give people the event, the date, the time, everything. So they have that information.
So Trinity Health Seaway Run Saturday, June 27th, Heritage Landing. The first race, if you're a runner and you want to go the distance, the half marathon is at 7 a.m. So you got to set that alarm pretty early. 8 o'clock is the start for the 5K, and the 10K is going to be somewhere between 7:45 and 7:50 on the kickoff time. So if you do sign up, seawayrun.com, and you go to register, it'll give you all the instructions you need to know. If you're not sure, you don't want to do the 5K, come down the night before on the 26th. And you can have your kids walk around Heritage Landing or run around Heritage Landing. It's a 1.2 K, so it's under a mile. So you know, we can all get through that, right? Sure. And we'll be there to cheer you on.
Okay. Brian, we thank you for coming on. The first time on the show. Yeah. Like to thank you for coming out.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. It was really nice meeting you both.
All right. You have been watching, listening to Community Focus for this day. Listen, we're going to take time to pay the bills, and we'll see you in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Community Focus. This is June 5th, 2026. And who is our next guest, sir?
Our next guest is from Reed Muskegon. It's Melissa Moore, the executive director.
Well, good afternoon, Melissa Moore.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I was wish I was down there with you guys, but I am home waiting for a repair person to come.
Oh, well, it was like they gave you one of those 8-to-5 windows.
Yeah.
Well, I want to call you my neighbor also.
Yeah.
Not people, but your neighbor right there where our church and our offices are located. Tell us about what's going on in Reed Muskegon.
Sure. So a lot of people know that we have been located at 26 East Broadway since 2017. We've been working down there. Loved, you know, being in downtown Muskegon Heights, just outgrew that space. So a couple of years ago now, we bought the Peck Street location from your church and have been working over the past 2 years to raise the money to renovate this space and then get the work done. It was, you know, an older building, so needed a lot of TLC. We are just about ready to get it open and super excited to be your neighbors.
Awesome. Melissa, take us, let's back up first. People that may not know, tell people what Reed Muskegon is and what you guys do.
Sure. So we are a nonprofit literacy center. We work out of our hub, our center office in Muskegon Heights, but we serve all of Muskegon County. And we provide free programs for all ages. So from the very youngest, 0 to 5-year-old programs, up to our oldest learner is 83 years old. We help prepare our youngest students or children for school. So we help parents learn how to build early literacy skills in their children, help those kids get exposed to letters and letter sounds and all the things they need to enter preschool or kindergarten ready to learn. We provide free programs for K-12 students. So a lot of one-on-one tutoring right now at our new center will be able to expand that to some more opportunities that we can talk about. And then adults is really where we started. We were founded in 2005. To provide one-on-one tutoring to low literacy adults, which I think you are familiar with this because we've talked about it before, but most people are surprised to know that over half of the adults in our country read below a sixth grade level. So in Muskegon County, about 24,000 adults actually read below a fourth grade level, so third grade or below, which is really too low to get a good job, to help your kids, to manage your health, to manage your money, all the things that you need to do to move forward. We do a lot of work in the jail. We have programs for men and women in the jail to try to help them build the skills that they need to reenter and get jobs or come and do some more work with us. Really, we will go anywhere that people are who need our help, and we know that they're everywhere. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, you know, wow, 30 years as a nonprofit, the transformation from where we had books and that was the norm. Mm-hmm. Now people are away from books and it's computers and phones and laptops and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been interesting because a lot of and I am not, you know, I am an administrator, not a teacher. So I always want to say that I am not the expert. We hire the experts and we train people to be tutors. But I do know some and I read a lot. And I think one of the things that's coming up now is that some of the issues with literacy, especially among our young people or young adults, may be stemming in part from the use of so much reliance on tablets and technology, because mm-hmm. we know that a lot of learning happens when you're actually writing by hand onto a piece of paper and reading books instead of just reading everything on a tablet. So it's important for sure to understand how to use technology because it's a big part of how our society functions and what you need to know to get a lot of good paying jobs these days. But you need both for sure. And I think there's a big focus now on kind of going back to the nuts and bolts, the science of reading, they call it, teaching phonics and teaching letter sounds and all of those things that we kind of moved away from over the years. So,
okay. Well, so take us on the journey. You said going back to 2017 from when you mm-hmm. first had this idea of, you know, another location, another building. Sure. What that sure. journey has been like, what have
feels like a long road, but also just yesterday. So we were founded in 2005. So we've been around just over 20 years, all volunteer, working out of somebody's basement who Jeff Byam was our founder. He just knew there was a need for this and mm-hmm. was committed to making it happen. Grew a little bit at a time over the years, bounced around from space that we shared at the Muskegon District Library offices and then downtown at Central United Methodist Church. We had a little room up there, but we always knew we wanted to be right in the heart of community where people could see us walking down the street and maybe walk in the door and find out what was going on. We first came to Muskegon Heights to our space on Broadway when Jake Eckholm was the city manager. Jonathan Wilson was on our board and he said, hey, there's this opportunity to lease a space from the DDA because they're trying to bring life back into some of these buildings. And so we were the first ones that took advantage of that. I think the only ones that maybe are still there as part of that. And really loved, like I said, being in that space. And I think from the start thought, oh, you know, we'll buy this space someday and fix it up and create our permanent home there. But as we continue to grow, especially after COVID, we really saw a bump in the need for our services. We realized that space is too small. So soon there will be a vacant space on Broadway. I think somebody else might be going in there, but for somebody else to come and make their home. But we started looking around at the things we loved about being on Broadway. We liked the foot traffic. We liked being in the heart of community downtown. We loved being a reason for people to come into Muskegon Heights that maybe wouldn't travel down Broadway or Peck Street otherwise, and just see the potential and the possibility that's there. And so as we were looking around, people pointed us on the direction of the building on Peck Street, 2709, that was Potter's Lamps, and then the church owned, and then Aldea was roasting coffee out of there for a while. We took a look inside, and it was exactly the space we were looking for, and it had all the things we loved still, you know, right downtown, even more visible, I think, now because of its proximity to City Hall. There are a lot of people coming in and out of your church for different services that, you know, that we'll be able to reach out to. So we started that process, and, you know, we're a growing organization, but to make that financial commitment to do that was a big leap for us. And the response that we have gotten from the community, from all of Muskegon County and even outside of Muskegon County to help us raise that money to do that and to support us beyond that has been really amazing. There are a lot of people who understand the importance of the work we do and wanted to be a part of it and believed that Reed Muskegon was the right leader, the right organization to really do this work for Muskegon County. So I can't wait for people to open those doors and invite people inside. It's an amazing transformation. It is a beautiful building. It is what this community deserves, what the people who participate in our programs deserve. And I'm just so excited to get
here. I want to take you back and on something that you talked about when you talked about adults and reading levels. Speak to those individuals to let them know that they're not alone in what they're going through, and that, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about, and it's something that can be fixed.
For sure. And I think that is probably the most important message that we want to communicate to adults who are struggling. One is that you're not alone. Like I said earlier, over half of the adults in our country could use some sort of support to improve their reading, their literacy, their comprehension. It is not their fault. You know, they have slipped through the cracks for a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's the education system they had access to. Sometimes it was just things happening in their home. Maybe they didn't have a stable home life and bounced around from school to school. There are a lot of different reasons that somebody becomes an adult who struggles to read. And the biggest thing we want them to hear is that there should be pride in asking for help. We have lots of learners now who will share their stories, who came in that same way, kind of embarrassed and quiet and unsure, who now feel celebrated when they come in to our center. They feel proud of what they've accomplished. They have totally changed their lives and sometimes the lives of other people around them because of, you know, their focus and diligence on and improving their reading level. And so one of the things we're excited about in this new building is having space for people to come in and just get a sense of what it's like to be in that center, to talk to some people who work there or some other learners, and understand that they belong, understand that, like I said, this is a place where everybody will be celebrated, where nobody should feel embarrassed. It is a hard thing as an adult when you have spent maybe decades feeling like you will never be a reader, right? That there's something wrong with you, to switch that mindset and realize that you can read, that you had that potential all along. And that's really our specialty is helping helping everyone who comes to us see their potential, figuring out what kind of drives that desire to change. It could be your child, it could be a job that you wanted, it could be we have people who are very involved in their church who want to be able to participate better in a Bible study or want to be a deacon and read, you know, to their church community. It's all different reasons for each individual person. And so we try to work with what their goals are and find ways to help them reach their goals while they're also improving their reading at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's a quick story about, you know, and you mentioned church, mm-hmm. and just a quick story to Melvin is that there's a fellow pastor and he read and he said that he messed up the scripture and he said marbles instead of marble. Okay, so he told that you couldn't play with marbles.
Oh man!
I mean, seriously,
oh, this marble knot. Yeah,
marble knot. Uh-huh. Okay, but this actually happened, and so the kids were not able to play with marbles. Mm-hmm. So words do mean.
Reading is important.
Reading is important.
Yeah.
It is. And we always say reading is power. And that is the biggest thing is when you learn to read, when you improve your literacy level, you take back the power of where your life is going to go. You're not relying on other people to read things and make decisions for you, whether it's around money or voting or your child's education or your health care. Everything we do every day relies on reading and understanding what you're reading to really move forward. And our goal is for every person to read at their full capacity and take back that power so they can choose their future instead of giving that power to somebody else to do for them.
Melissa, I forget the young lady's name that came to our church. She's maybe spent 45 minutes on a Saturday and mm-hmm. talked to us about literacy. And I think we actually got a couple of volunteers out of it, but she kind of helped us change our focus. You know, we kind of changed some of the books we use with the kids and just even with slides we use in church, keeping in mind people are at mm-hmm. different levels. Mm-hmm. I forget her name and her title, but it was just
really Shay? Helpful.
Yes.
Shay. Yep.
Yeah.
She's our program
really
director.
Well, you know, you take for granted. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really helpful for us just to think about some things different. You know, this mm-hmm. little things, you know, mm-hmm. you put your bulletin out, you know, and, you know, you run it through Word or whatever, you think, okay, it's good. All words are correct. But keep in mind, people are at different reading levels. And mm-hmm. we just thought it was really helpful for us as an organization.
Yep. Yeah. And we do that training all over the county. We did it for every department of the city of Muskegon. Yes. We've done it for banks. We've done it for teachers, for healthcare providers. And what it really does is help you when you're in a position to be serving the public or interacting with the public, be able to recognize signs of somebody who may be struggling to read, but may be too embarrassed to ask for help.
Yes.
Kind of help them through the process so that they have dignity in that process and you both get the information you need. Mm-hmm. And it also focuses, like you said, on the materials you put out in the public, because I think a lot of the information that gets put out is above the level that a lot of people can understand. So one of the things we worked on as an example with the city of Muskegon is when they had to put out a notice to their residents about why their water bills were going to go up. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make sure, I think it was going in their bill or something, that notice was at a level where everybody could understand it. So it's really important things. Or you think about back during COVID and all the information that was going out. And it was hard for even those of us who are literate to have really understood and to be able to ask informed questions. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing it really doesn't impact. I always say, tell me what you're passionate about, and I will tell you how literacy connects, you know, to that. So,
by the way, we were still upset with the water bill increase. But at least I understood. I'm a new parent, and I have a child.
Grandparent.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you.
Okay.
I thought you had an announcement. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
If I'm a new parent out there, I should have said if, and I want to get my child into reading, where do I start?
Yep. So we, so Read Muskegon provides free programs. Like I said, for 0 to 5-year-olds, we have programs where a parent, a grandparent, auntie, uncle, foster parent, babysitter could bring them to Read Muskegon for a program. They are usually geared around art, music, or cooking. and they're about 6 weeks long. They're free, and you get introduced to easy ways to build like letter recognition and letter sounds and reading with your children and stuff at home. So our Facebook page is the best place. It's just Read Muskegon on Facebook, the best place to find out about those. We do them all over Muskegon County. We're really excited that the first program in our new building will be an ABCs of art class. And we are prioritizing enrollment for Muskegon Heights families. This is all assuming that the building is ready, but it will be, yeah. I promise you. The sidewalk in front may be a different story, but the building will be ready inside. Okay. And so that's coming up. But like I said, we have programs all over. We will have in that community room in our new building, we'll have free books for 0 to 5, for kids of all ages, really. So you could come in and grab a book. Really excited for the little bit older ones, the K-12 students. We have one-on-one tutoring right now. When the school year starts, we have to give ourselves a little time to get settled in and get systems going, but we'll have free drop-in tutoring after school in our main classroom. We will have access to Chromebooks and technology in there because that's what they use a lot for doing their homework. But we'll have trained tutors in there to work with students whenever they need help. And hopefully by next summer, we'll have some summer programs. And for the little guys, our other plan is once we get things up and running, to have a drop-in play and learn group probably once a week. We have a free childcare room, which I didn't mention, in that new building. So when an adult is in program in our building, whether they're there for a tutoring session or a class or a community event, we will provide free care for the little ones by a trained paid early childhood person. So the little guys will get some extra attention too in helping build their school readiness stuff at the same time their adults are learning. So lots of different ways. The best thing is either just to call our office or check out Facebook. That's where we will usually post the most, like I said, the most up-to-date information on our programs. And we'll do some community events at the new building this summer too, so that we can bring families in and help them, you know, introduce them to the programs that we've got going.
Okay. Melissa, I did see a big hole in front of your building this morning. And that's when they're working. Do we have an unofficial date for opening? Yeah.
The new building? You know, not great timing on the big hole in front of the building, but I'm happy it's getting done. So yeah. There is a water main that has been leaking for quite a while, and it's getting fixed today. So after that, we've got to repair some sidewalk. But the inside of the building is pretty much good to go. And we thankfully have a back entrance and some parking back in the back of the building until we can get the front open. We do have to get all the technology set up in there. That should be happening next week. So our hope is to kind of slowly over the next few weeks open things up. So we'll do some classes in there first, probably the week of the 15th, and then maybe do some tutoring. We've got to figure out all of this is brand new to us, like all the signing people in and buzzing people in and not being able to see every person in the building all the time because we're in a small space is going to take some adjusting. But I would say the last half of June, we should be ready to really open the doors to the public. We want to do tours, so we will put out a sign when we've got tours or somebody, a volunteer, someone who can do tours for people. We'll put it on our Facebook page, but we want people to come in. We built this building for the community, for our whole community, not for us to close ourselves in there and just sit and hang out with ourselves. So we want people to understand what we do and understand how they can participate in our programs, not just as learners, but as volunteers. We have a waiting list right now of K-12 students and adults who are waiting for volunteers. When this building opens, because we know we'll get more attention because of it, we anticipate that going up. So we are making a big push right now to recruit and train more volunteers. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to know how to teach people to read. We will provide you all of the support and resources that you need. But I would love to see more people from our local community tutoring, because it's great to have neighbors, tutoring neighbors. And, you know, we'll go into churches and teach church members how to support their fellow, you know, church members if that's what they want to do. We can't do it all from that center, but anyway, we're looking forward to do some tutor training. We've got beautiful new tutor rooms in there for people to use. So, yeah.
Talk to people how important it is to put the tablets away and just grab a book. Mm-hmm. Just grab a book and get into a book and read.
Yep. Yeah. Well, like I was saying earlier, I think there's room for both, but I do think that actual physical books are, you know, being seen more and more as a part of learning. I think for young people, helping them find the thing they love to read. I know graphic novels are a huge thing with young people. And I think there's a lot of adults who look at that and think, oh, that's not really reading, but there are a lot of words in those graphic novels. And if that's the thing that gets a young person excited about reading, let's encourage that and help them find more of those that they like. But for adults as well, I mentioned we have programs in the jail. One of the things we do in the jail are book clubs for men and women, because they've got time to read. It's a great way to build that habit again of reading, to help them escape to worlds that they maybe have never visited before, to see what's possible in the world. So there is way more out there for us to explore than what you find on a tablet, certainly what you can find on a phone or in an app. And I think that audiobooks are great, tablet things are great, but there is nothing like, you know, having a real book that you can hold on to, and whether you get that from the library or you come into our space and pick one out that we're giving away for free, there's lots of ways to get books. So,
okay. Melissa, the architects say form follows function. Mm-hmm. So talk about just what it means to some of the new things you're able to do in this new space weren't able to do before.
Sure. It is amazing. And I know you've been in that building, you know, plenty of times, Melvin, like to see how they have transformed that space, because we gave them a huge wish list of all the things we wanted and thought there's no way they'll get it all in there, but they did. And it is a right size space for us. It is not too big. Mm-hmm. It is just right. But like I said, it's meant to welcome community. So in those beautiful front storefront windows, the very center is our community room. And that's a space where you don't have to be enrolled in program. If you just want to come in and sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk to somebody about what it means to be in our program, you can do that. We have room in there again for our, it's hard to explain without looking at it, but it's kind of set up like a U. And in the very center is our classroom training room. That room is actually going to be dedicated in the memory of, in honor of Dr. Doris Rux, because education and advocacy was a huge thing. And Gemini the poet is writing a spoken word poem to help dedicate that in honor of her. So some of our donors were really excited about that opportunity and brought that to us as something that they wanted to do. So that will be in the center. Classrooms, we're excited to open it up to community partners as we settle in. So if there's other things that people in the community or outside the community want to use that space for, that might be an opportunity. We have room for all of our staff to actually work in workable space now instead of on top of each other. We have three private tutor rooms, which is really nice. Our tutors have to meet in public, so these are spaces they can do that. We have two smaller kind of conference training rooms, and we have a kitchen area and in our childcare room. And so that's really what's in there. And then we have the basement, which is just storage. But
a question. I have a spouse. So I'm just saying, if I have a spouse or having somebody that I know that is struggling with reading, how do I address that person to better their life?
Yeah. That is the hardest question, because you don't want to offend somebody. You don't want to push them away. You don't want them to not want to come back and talk to you about it again. So sometimes what we do is a person like you would call our office and say, hey, my my spouse, my mother, whoever it happens to be, is struggling to read. How can I help them? And we'll kind of talk you through ways to talk about what we do, because we don't talk about it usually as teaching someone to read. We talk about it as ways to better manage their health or better manage their finances or whatever is going to be a trigger for them. And we do it with respect. Like I said, we try to make sure they know they're not alone. But the best thing to do, because every person is going to respond to that conversation differently, is to have a conversation with us first. Or if you're walking by and once we're open and you're like, hey, why don't we go in here and see what's going on? Walk in together and you can have a conversation together. And maybe, you know, maybe build up their confidence to come back on their own.
Melissa Moore, thank you so much for what you're doing. Congratulations on the new building, and come back and definitely give us some updates.
Yeah. Well, you guys will have to come and visit too. I'm excited to show you around.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Take care. That's what it is. Melissa Moore, from
Reed Muskegon.
And it's important because we see a lot of people that struggle with reading and stuff like that. And it's, you don't have to be ashamed.
No, you don't. And they give people, just one of my pet nonprofits, two things I like. They give people dignity. And secondly, man, their commitment to stay in Muskegon Heights, stay from day one. She said, we want to stay here where people can get to us. And a lot of nonprofits like to move out.
Right.
Or it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I really admire that commitment and the work they're doing.
Good. Well, look, it's man, 2:59 already. And I'm sitting up thinking, I'm stuck on something that Brian said earlier.
What's that?
That, you know, if you're not involved, you're part of the problem.
Yes.
And I don't know how that, I can't remember how that statement goes.
Yeah.
Be part of the solution and not a problem. But anyway, I guess I want to close on that because you can sit up and complain and murmur about everything that is going on in your world, or you can sit and get involved and help. And if you don't know where to go, you know something that you're passionate about. Find that thing that you're passionate about. Find that thing that you want to help. And I'm sure that there's organizations that you can join. Like they said, that she said, they have a waiting list of people that need to learn how to read.
Yes.
Get out, get it involved, and help somebody. And you don't know how much you might be changing somebody's life.
That's right.
With that said, that's time's up. Community Focus with Pastor Melvin Burr, the twin, and Gregory T. Roberts. And no, it's not a Jerry Springer moment, and I didn't have an announcement.
you know, we're listening sometimes. I'm like, you should get out and say hypothetically, because I'm like, wait a minute.
Listen, we'll see you next week. Take care and God bless.